Hello, friends, and welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. During the first hour, I interviewed Dr. Effie Chow, who's one of the world's most famous Qigong healers. If you're interested in more of her work, her website is www.eastwestqi.com. She's a wonderful lady, and I hope you enjoyed her interview. During the second hour, I'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Willie Frank III. He's the 7th Tribal Council member of the Nisqually Tribal Council in Olympia, Washington, here in the United States. And he's got a very interesting background. He graduated from Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington in 2008 with a Bachelor of Arts in Native Studies. And his father is Billy Frank Jr., who passed away in 2014 at the age of 83. And he's proud to say that his grandfather, Willie Frank Sr., lived to be 104, and both served on the tribal council for the Nisqually tribe. Willie believes in protecting tribal rights and tribal sovereignty and water issues. And one of the most important things he told me about recently, he traveled back to North Dakota to protest the oil pipeline being built there. And he'll be giving firsthand eyewitness information on what's going on. Unfortunately, oil companies have destroyed ancient Indian burial grounds, thousands of years old, beaten up and assaulted people, peaceful people protesting the pipeline, including pregnant women and small children, and violated many state, federal, and international laws. Protesters contend that the oil pipeline is unsafe and being done without proper environmental protections and in complete disregard of the National Environmental Policy Act and the Native American Graves and Reparation Act. The United Nations has also called for a halt to the construction because it's seen as a threat to drinking water supplies and sacred sites of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe. This is not going to be a negative program. Instead, as light workers, I think it's important for all of us to be aware of situations like what's happening in North Dakota, not to talk about it in a negative sense, but to send instead lots of love and light to the people there so that a good resolution of the conflict can be done without further violence. And I know that many people around the world want to make this planet a better place, and I think this is one area that needs a lot of healing. And with that, Willie, I'd like to bring you on the show. Hi, welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Well, I'm very honored, and I'm glad to be on your show today, and thank you for getting me on today.
Oh,
great to be on here and tell my story and tell a little bit of our history here.
Well, I'd love to. I'm so happy that you could come on. And I'd like to do some prayers a little bit later for the Native American ancestors whose graves have been dug up and desecrated at the site, as well as for the people who've been assaulted at the site as well. And we've got lots to talk about. Tell me a little bit about your recent trip back there and what you know of the pipeline.
Well, myself, I went back there as a representative of the Nisqually Tribal Council.
Mm-hmm.
I went with our chairman, Farron McLeod, and we were back there for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the opportunity to meet with their chairman, who is just a fantastic, powerful, amazing man, and their 17 tribal council members.
Uh-huh.
So we went back there in complete support with a delegation of the Washington tribe, led by Chairman Brian Clasby of the Swinomish tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And, we went back there to show our support for the people of Standing Rock and what they're standing up against, this big black snake, they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this oil pipeline they want to put through sacred burial grounds, sacred grounds of the Standing Rock people.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense at all to run an oil pipeline through the Missouri River and through the Cannonball River. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it makes no sense at all to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the people back there, you know, this is an area that is, there's not a lot around out there.
Right.
You know, this is their sacred grounds. This is their sacred territory that was given to them in their treaty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their treaty that they signed with the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's part of the issue that we're dealing with, not just in North Dakota, but all over. You know, we're
right.
We have to keep educating people.
Right.
About our treaty rights, about our sovereignty, about what we signed back in the 1800s. For us, the Medicine Creek Treaty of 1855 is our treaty here at Nisqually.
Mm-hmm.
And it has Squaxin Island, Puyallup, Muckleshoot, and Nisqually, the four Medicine Creek tribes that are a part of this treaty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so the people of Standing Rock, they have this treaty, and it's not even being recognized. And it's really sad to see the I guess you could say the negative press that it's getting.
Right.
You know,
right.
It is not a protest. It's not a, you know, there's not a bunch of renegades back there. What this is a peaceful protest.
Right. Right.
You know, when we were back there, there was over 2,000 people in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to go and be a part of this, it's something that I'll remember for the rest of my life for sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I know it's something as a young tribal leader that my dad would want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of my actions moving forward in my life, you know, I always think of my dad and, you know, what he fought for his whole life to give Native, not just Native people, but the whole people, the state of Washington,
right?
You know, a better understanding of protecting Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really, it makes no sense to put this black snake right through the reservation, right through the Missouri River and the Cannonball River. You know, the people of North Dakota, the people of Bismarck, they didn't want it going through Bismarck. So the oil company said, well, it'd be easier to put it out on the reservation, out towards the reservation, out towards the not a lot of people out there.
Well, I'd like
Go ahead.
I'd like to just give a little bit of background on that. I've been studying the issue now for some time, Willie. And it apparently started, and you probably know a lot more about this, back in January 11th of this year, when President Obama signed an order, legislation to expedite the pipeline construction process. And then, so I do want to send lots of love and light to him later in the program to help him make the right decisions and to help the Native people there as well. And then the second thing that I heard, too, and you just mentioned it now, is that this pipeline could have gone through Bismarck, North Dakota, without destroying all these beautiful, sacred Indian sites. But the oil company, in deference to the residents of Bismarck and other people there, instead chose a route through these sacred Native American sites, which I don't think was the right decision myself.
I couldn't agree more. It makes no sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it really shows you the lack of education and knowledge that these folks have for the treaties that our tribes have. You know, to move it, the city of Bismarck said, we don't want it going through here.
Right.
Where it wasn't going to disturb much. And I'm not saying, I don't support it anyway.
Right.
You know, I don't think the people in the city of Bismarck deserve this going through their land either.
Right. Right.
You know, I think that I from what I understand is this was supposed to go all the way from North Dakota all the way down to Texas.
Right.
You know, so this isn't a small operation here. And I understand, you know, these oil pipelines, these oil rigs, it puts a lot of people to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it also puts a lot of our Native people to work.
Right.
But it doesn't make sense to run it straight through the sacred area for the Standing Rock people.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, when we were back there, Chairman Archambault, you know, he was going through a lot at the time because, you know, it was just starting to pick up press. You know, he had a lot weighing on his shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
And so for us to go back there and support this man and the folks of Standing Rock, you know, it meant everything. You know, for Chairman McLeod and I, our other council member, Hanford McLeod, went back there with our canoe family about 10 days after we did.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so there was a call to bring back the Washington canoes.
Right.
You know, and so Hanford and others, you know, led these canoes down the Missouri River.
Wow, that's,
you know,
beautiful.
To show their support for these people.
Right, right.
You know, and that's what it's about. You know, it's a peaceful place. I mean, it literally brought tears to my eyes to be out there and see these people standing up for what they believe in.
Right, right. Well,
and it really reflects close to home with what, you know, my father and what a lot of our elders at Nisqually went through with the fishing wars back in the 60s.
Sure, sure, sure. Well, that's one of the reasons why I brought you on today, because this is a situation in North Dakota that needs positive energy and lots of love and light and healing energy directed to it, not negativity. I don't want anyone to hate North Dakota for what they're doing there or the oil companies. I think they're misguided. And I think especially, Willie, I'd love your opinion on this. The banks who are financing this are misguided as well. And I'd like to give a list out of banks that have been funding this, because the banks have apparently put their need for profits above everything else, including the lives of the peaceful men, women, and children who are protesting this pipeline in North Dakota. And if we all get together, there's a list of banks here I'm going to read in just a second, but I want everyone to note that if they've got an account in any one of these banks, I urge you to pull your money out of these banks and put them into a local bank or a credit union who will, I want you to vote with your dollars. If you disapprove of the pipeline, if you disapprove of the way that these poor, peaceful men, women, and children have been treated by the oil companies, including assaults and little children getting attacked by these guard dogs, I mean, it's been awful, then I would urge you to vote with your dollars and pull your money out. And there's lots of local banks and credit unions out there who would love your business and give you, charge you less fees than these huge banks. I'd like to read a list now of the banks financially involved in the Dakota North Dakota pipeline. Bank of Nova Scotia for those in Canada, Citizens Bank, Commerce Bank, U.S. Bank, which has given a line of credit to the oil companies of $1.75 million. Now, they're a public bank. And certainly, I'm sure people out there have accounts in U.S. Bank. If you have an account in U.S. Bank, I urge you to pull your money out into another bank. PNC Bank, Barclays, which is an English bank, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. I'm sure there's many depositors out there, people who have accounts in Chase. Move your bank out. Move your account out to another bank who will be more receptive to you and put people instead of profits ahead of everybody else. Bank of America, Deutsche Bank, for those listening in Germany. Compass Bank, Credit Suisse for those living in Switzerland, DNB Capital ASA, Sumitomo Mitsui Bank who in Japan, Royal Bank of Canada, UBS, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Community Trust, HSBC Bank, and Wells Fargo, who was recently in the news before Congress. Their chairman has been accused of corruption. BNP Paribas Bank, SunTrust, Royal Bank of Scotland, Bank of Tokyo, Mitsubishi, UFJ, Mitsu Bank, Citibank, TD Toronto Dominion Securities, ABN AMRO Capital, Credit Agricole, Intesa San Paulo, sounds like a Brazilian bank, ING Bank, Natix, N-A-T-I-X-I-S, Baron LB Bank, BBVA Securities, BNB First Bank, ICBC London, SMBC Nico Securities, and Societe Generale, I think that's a French bank. If you have any money in any of these banks or financial institutions, I strongly urge you that to move your money elsewhere if you disagree with what's going on in North Dakota, because I think people, in order to ascend, you have to deal with negativity. And by leaving your money in these institutions, you're helping these banks treat people the way they are in North Dakota. And if you disagree with it, I urge you to move your money elsewhere.
Well, you had quite the list there of banks that are supporting this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, it's really disheartening to hear that. You know, like you said, what's happening, you know, not just in North Dakota, but I think everywhere, you know, is that we're putting a dollar sign on this beautiful land that we live on.
Right.
You know, this Mother Nature here that we have, this Mother Earth, I mean, you know, it's just absurd to think that, you know, we live in the beautiful Puget Sound. You're in Bellevue right now.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you're looking out and you can probably see the Puget Sound from where you're at.
It's beautiful.
You know, and we're dealing with issues that people don't even know about here on the Puget Sound as well. You
right.
know, about how polluted it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's dead zones all over. We have a blob out in the sound right now. You know, our rivers are getting warm, our mm-hmm. our lakes, our streams, and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but what you see is you keep seeing the houses go up. You keep seeing the businesses coming in. More and more people to this area is not good for the habitat or the earth that we live on.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, it's crazy, you know, and to go back to North Dakota and be a part of that, you know, I mean, from what I understand is they're planning on going all through the winter on this.
Well, I have news for them. It's stopped right now. It's not going to continue. My spirit, I'm a psychic, and I talked to my spirit friends on the other side, and they said there's not going to be able, no matter how many people they assault, now how many people they beat up, no matter how many people they arrest, sorry, the pipeline is dead. They're going to have to find another route, another way, because this is not going to happen.
Well, you know, I really like to hear that, and, you know, our prayers here, you know, we take a sweat once, twice a week here in the Squally, and, you know, our prayers are going out to the people of Standing Rock every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do believe that this power that has taken over Standing Rock, you know, the prayers and everything that has been going on there, you know, we feel it's going to be strong enough. And I honestly do feel that President Obama will make a change here and put a stop completely to it.
I think he will.
I feel he will.
Mm-hmm.
We had our tribal leaders were back in Washington, D.C. with their last meeting with the president this last week. Our chairman was back there, Chairman McLeod.
Right.
And, you know, I really believe he's done a lot for Native people, I feel. And I really believe he's going to put a stop to it.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. And I want to think the best as far as, you know, having him the right decision. So this with that. I want to say this prayer now. It's based upon the Ho'oponopono that Dr. Emoto loves so much to say. And I'd like to make a specific prayer to this program, asking all my listeners around the world to please say this prayer. I know I've been told that over 100,000 people are listening right now, and I know that cumulatively our positive power can change the situation for the better. And what I'd like to say is this, and please repeat after me. This is for the water and the Native American ancestors whose burial grounds have been destroyed in North Dakota. We are sorry. Please forgive us. We love you, and we thank you. And we ask that this area be healed and no further destruction be done, and the area be healed. Again, we're sorry. Please forgive us. We love you, and we thank you, and we ask that this area be healed with lots of love and light, and no further destruction be done. And finally, we are sorry. Please forgive us. We love you, and we thank you. We ask that this area be healed and that no further destruction be done. And that also that President Obama make the right decision and put a stop to this pipeline now, because it's not going to be finished. The people of that area, I'm told by my spirit friends on the other side, will not let it continue, period. Are you there, Willie?
Yep, I am. I was just, you know, that was a good prayer there that you just said. You know, I was just thinking, you know, about all the positive things that are over there right now. To see these young kids there, to see these elders there,
sure,
speaking their language in prayer, sure, and whatever,
sure,
it may be, to be over there for myself, like I said earlier, was truly powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It truly was an experience I will remember for the rest of our lives. And we're planning on making another trip back there, actually, and we're gonna bring some winter equipment for them. You know, we're gonna get some tents and some canvases and some things to keep these guys warm over the winter, if that's the case. And you know, we've said from day one that we are standing behind Standing Rock. You know, we're gonna support these guys no matter what they do.
Well,
Okay.
I don't mean to stop you, Willie, but could you give out your email or contact information? I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who would like to financially help support you, bring supplies back for them for the winter, or could you contribute, donate clothes or food to your efforts? Is there a way that they could contact you?
Yeah, through my email address, it's frank.willie@nisqually.nsn.gov.
Okay, Frank.
You know, and
Frank dot
dot dot Willie.
Okay. Could you?
Nisqually.
NISQUALLY. Okay.
Yep. -NSN.gov.
NSN.gov. Okay, great. And you're located in Olympia, Washington, off of exit 114. While we're talking about the situation back there, I also want people, everyone listening, to send lots of love and light to the governor of North Dakota, Governor Dalrymple. I hope that's the right way to pronounce it, who's asked the National Guard to bring in high security into the area. And one of the things that this governor of North Dakota did recently during the past week is that he issued an arrest warrant for Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! In New York City for her reporting on the protests.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's very misguided. I mean, what is he going to do to me? Is he going to issue an arrest warrant for me because I'm reporting on it today? I think he's misguided, and I think that he's not looking at the situation in a realistic way. And he has to remember, we still are in America. We still have the Constitution. We still have the First Amendment, which guarantees people the right to peacefully protest. And this is what these people are doing. And with that, I'd like to play a song dedicated to Governor Dalrymple in North Dakota. It's from the Beatles, and it's called Nowhere Man. And I'd like to dedicate this song to him now. And I'll come right back on the air as soon as we play it.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? You don't know what you're missing. Nowhere man, the world is at your
Okay, thank you so much, Eric, for playing that song. That song is just dedicated to Governor Dalrymple of North Dakota, who I think is misguided, and he does need lots of love and light. So as you think of the governor of North Dakota, please don't direct any negativity at him. Instead, send him lots of love and light so he will make the right decision and protect these peaceful people who are protesting this oil pipeline. What else did you see back there when you were back there? I'd love to hear more from your visit.
Well, so going back there on our travels, you know, there was 9 different tribes from the state of Washington that went back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the first day we get out there, you know, I mean, they welcome us in like we're one of their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're all Native people, so we always consider ourselves, you know, we're all one.
Right.
You know, but to actually be back there, and we were the first out of all the Washington delegations, my chairman and myself. And as we walked into camp, you pull into the camp, you park, you get out, and there's kind of a main area where they're cooking the food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got tents set up, big tents where their tribal council and other folks, elders, sit and kind of hang out. You
mm-hmm.
know, they're there, and for anybody who wants to get up and say some good words, sing a song, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as we're walking up, I mean, it was so amazing, the feeling of walking up there and to have one of their council members. We've never met him before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had no idea who they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he comes up to us and he says, "Well, where are you guys from?" We said, "We're from the Nisqually tribe."
Mm-hmm.
And he hands us a microphone and he
mm-hmm.
says, "Well, would you guys like to say a few words?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was. It truly was just amazing to get up and talk and to see the faces of these elders and these tribal members. I mean, you know, it was truly a spiritual, powerful place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to hear that the governor of North Dakota is bringing in the armed guards is absurd.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. I mean, and to have these security guards there with these Rottweilers or German Shepherds, whatever they were, you know, that's even crazier. You know, there's nobody there that is, you know, this is peaceful. And the chairman of that tribe, you know, he spoke to us when we met with their tribal council for over 4 hours the first day we were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he told us, he said, you know, anybody you guys talk to, you let them know this is a peaceful protest.
Sure.
You know, and I've seen him on the news and, you know, letting people know that this is peaceful.
Right.
You know, and the thing about it for our folks, you know, because there's a good group that went back from Nisqually after we came back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't about any of us over here. You know, this is about the Standing Rock tribe standing up for what they believe in.
Sure.
You know, and for us, what it is it gives them good medicine for us to be over there.
Mm-hmm.
To show that support from these Washington tribe, Oregon, I mean, throughout the United States, throughout the world.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They have folks there from all over the world. I mean, they had a map set up for people if they wanted to sign their name on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're looking at this world map, and you're seeing people from New Zealand, you're seeing people from Australia, from all over the world being a part of it.
How many people do you think are there, by the way, roughly?
Well, when we were there, there was probably over 2,000, but
well.
So 2 weeks after that, that must have been about 10 days, when our canoe family went back there, they said there was probably close to 7,000 people.
Wow, that's beautiful.
You know, back there supporting these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were back there, the Washington delegation, we did a march from the Cannonball River into the camp to show our support of these guys.
Right.
And it truly brought tears to my eyes to walk and see these people standing there watching us and showing us the love and support. I mean, it truly is an amazing feeling. I mean, you don't see that a lot anymore.
Right.
You know, you don't see the family aspect of things anymore. You know, I mean, it's not there everywhere anymore. But to go back there and be a part of that, and have these people welcome you in like you've known them your whole life.
Right.
You know, it truly, truly was powerful, and it truly was an experience I will never ever forget. I didn't want to leave.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I
wanted to stay there. I mean, you know, like I spoke with my cousin Hanford on council with me as well, and he had the same feeling.
Right.
You know, he said the same exact thing. I did not want to leave. It was so powerful to be back there.
Well, it reminds me of the civil rights marches here in the United States in the 60s. I was just a child back then, but I do remember them. And they ended up in having some really good change and healing. And there was a lot of healing afterwards from this country. I think it's been a really good thing for the United States.
I think you're exactly right, and I think it shows that people are getting fed up, you know, and not just Native people. You know, everything that's going on throughout the United States with the shootings and the different issues that are going on, you know, people are getting fed up, you know, and for us, you know, our tribes in the state of Washington are dealing with coal trains, coal terminals, all the same issues going on here, you know, and you know, the Lummi Nation stood up, Quinault standing up, you know, and it's about the support that they need from all these other tribes as well. You know, and it shows though, Standing Rock showed, it was a great example because it showed that all of our tribes can unite and support one and another.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's the issue that a lot of our tribes deal with is you know, we need to stick together because it shows you, and it scares the hell out of people, I'll tell you that. It scares the government to see that. You know, that's why the governor is having these armed guards there.
Right.
That's why every news media outlet who's been there, it's never been positive. It's all negative stuff that they're trying to put out there to people. And this is, like I said, this is nothing negative.
Right.
This is all positive. This is all spiritual.
Sure.
This is medicine for our people. You know, and I compared it, and you said the civil rights. You know, I compared it to the fishing struggle here in the 60s and 70s.
Sure, right.
You know,
right.
It really is, it runs all the same because, you know, I had folks in Standing Rock say, I remember fighting with your dad along the Nisqually River back in the 60s.
Right, right.
You know, these are folks sitting in the camp at Standing Rock that came here during the fishing wars in the 60s and 70s.
Right, right. And I think if you look at history, repressive governments like the one by Governor Dalrymple in North Dakota, they have a very short lifespan because their negative actions don't last very long. But that's why I want to send lots of love and light to Governor Dalrymple in North Dakota, to the police and the National Guard who are there. I know they're just probably just think they're doing their job, but they've got families too.
I'd like to say that, you know, the Highway Patrol, as we were going out there when the barricade was there, they were great. You know, there was no ugliness or anything. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we feel the same way you do. They are just doing their job. They do have families they want to go home to every night.
Sure.
And I'm sure they don't want to be there.
Sure, right.
You know, right. I'm sure that they don't want to be there and be a part of any negative aspect on the law enforcement.
Well, you know, and the thing is, if you look at, I think the prime movers behind all of this are the banks, because if it wasn't for them, none of this would be happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I think all of these banks are misguided. All of their CEOs, all of their board of directors, they focus too much on what kind of money they can make, and they put money ahead of the people there. And I mean, it's kind of like, would you want to bank there anyway, knowing that they're kind of that they're financing this kind of treatment of people? I know on Facebook, I saw some pictures of, I'm not going to go into details about it, but I saw pictures of women and children, young girls as far 4 and 5 years old, getting their faces being chewed up by guard dogs. And I said to myself, this is America?
Yeah.
You know, and why isn't anybody protecting these peaceful people? I'm not saying this in a negative sense, because what's happened now, these people need healing. The whole area needs healing, and you can't treat people like that. You know, irregardless of whether you're in the United States or you're in North Korea, you can't treat people like this. People have basic human dignity and human rights. And
yeah, my wife, yeah, she showed, when I saw those pictures, it was, I couldn't believe that that's what, it was in Standing Rock. I
right.
couldn't believe that it was in America that these dogs are biting these kids.
Right, right, exactly.
You know, it was so heartbreaking. You know, and the main thing is you know, your first reaction is to get upset about it,
right?
You know,
exactly.
And really, really get and it's unfortunate that had to happen.
And
but I'm hoping it happened. You know, the way I see things is everything happens for a reason in our
right,
life.
Right. Exactly. Well, this place needs a lot of healing, needs a lot of love and light. The second thing that happened too is that from what I've read on the internet, and I'd love your opinion on this, Willie, is that the Standing Rock Sioux tribe gave the court, as part of their court case, documents indicating where these sacred Indian Native American burial sites were in the area of the pipeline. And so what does the oil company do and the contractors? They used that confidential court records to immediately start excavating that area that night and the next morning, to destroy it completely. And that's... The attorneys for the oil company should be arrested, disbarred, because they violated. They're under an oath to not use that for their own advantage. They also violated half a dozen different state, federal, and international laws as well. Nothing's been done against those attorneys who did that. And why hasn't anybody stepped in to help them?
Well, you know, it's absurd. It's just. You know, the only thing I could say about that is karma.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to sit there and you're going to disturb ancient burial grounds. You're going to disturb sacred land. You know, and I understand these attorneys have a job and they're getting paid to do their job. The oil companies, the guys who are digging all that stuff.
Right.
You know, but I believe in our ways, our native ways,
right.
a great deal.
Right.
And, you know, it's karma. You know, whatever happened, it's going to come back on them in their lifetime, and that's
right.
really too bad.
Right.
You know, to disturb Mother Nature,
right.
to disturb those sacred dams of the Standing Rock people, you know, that's just unheard of.
Yeah.
And what you talked about, you know, how come nothing's been done to these guys?
Yeah.
You know, how are they able to get away with doing that? You know, and it really shows that these guys, they don't care. You know, it's like you said, it's all about the dollar.
Well, the legal system back there is perceived as being an uneven playing field. So that if you're...
I could imagine. Yes,
you know,
I could.
If you're friends with Governor Dalrymple in North Dakota, you can do anything you want. You can violate all kinds of different laws and you get away with it. You can even, you know, hurt pregnant women, have little children eaten up by dogs. But it's okay because if you've got good connections with the oil companies and the government back there, it's all right. But it's not all right.
It's not all right.
You know, and that's why this area really needs a lot of love and light. I want to get back to the banks for a minute for people that maybe didn't have a chance to write this down. I think the banks have put their material need for profits ahead of everything else, including the lives of the peaceful men, women, and children who are protesting this oil pipeline in North Dakota. And there's a lot of banks involved, but if people have accounts in any of these banks, I urge you to seriously consider moving your money out and move it to a local credit union or a local bank that would probably give you much better service and wouldn't be doing the things that these other banks are doing in North Dakota. And I'll just go over some of the bigger banks. In Canada, we've got Bank of Nova Scotia and the Royal Bank of Canada. That we've also got in the United States, you have U.S. Bank. In England, you've got Barclays Bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Deutsche Bank in Germany, Credit Suisse in Switzerland, Sunomoto Mitsui Bank in Japan, UBS Bank, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Community Trust, HSBC Bank, Wells Fargo, SunTrust, Royal Bank of Scotland, Bank of Tokyo, Mitsubishi, Citibank, Mitsui Bank, TD Securities, which is a Canadian firm, ING Bank, DMB First Bank, and Societe Generale in France. So there's quite a few different banks there. And again, I'm just asking people to please consider their investments in these banks. If you do have money in these banks and you disagree with what the way people are being treated in North Dakota, then I would definitely consider moving your money out. Again, there's lots of local banks who would probably love to have your business and would charge you less fees than these bigger banks. Willie, what do you see for the future?
Well, you know, as far as the Nisqually tribe, like I said, we're going to stand behind Standing Rock.
Okay.
You know, but I hope this opens the eyes, though, you know, of all of our tribal folks, and not just tribal, but you know, everybody in the United States and the world to see what's going on.
Right.
We're not going anywhere, Native people. You know, this is our home where we are.
Right.
You know, Mother Earth is, and not just Native people, but everybody.
Right.
Like we shouldn't be doing these things to try to, you know, desecrate this, what we have here. We only get one of these. You know, we only get one Mother Earth. You know, and you know, I, like I said, one of my main things is protecting our tribal sovereignty, protecting our treaty rights, and telling our story also. You know, I was taught at a young age by my dad to keep telling our stories. You know, keep telling our history, you know, because as we get older and as time changes, you know, I hope that it doesn't get less and less told that our tribes are here. You know,
right.
We're going to get new governors. We're going to get new presidents. We're going to get new senators, congressmen.
Right.
New people moving in and out of Thurston County down here in Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bellevue, Seattle, wherever you guys are.
Right.
You know, we're going to get new people living here. But then the Nisqually tribe is always going to be here. The Standing Rock tribe is always going to be here. We're always going to be here doing what we do. And it's protecting this beautiful place that we live.
Right. Exactly. I want to play a beautiful water song that Dr. Masuramoto had commissioned years ago in Japan. I played it before. It's the Japanese version, but it's very, very beautiful. It's got Japanese and English in it. I'll play this, and then we'll come back right on the air.
Would you
Isn't that a beautiful song? I love playing that. I'd like to let's talk. I'd like to wrap up this part of the program with saying the prayer again to the Native American ancestors whose burial grounds have been desecrated back in North Dakota, and to help the healing back in that area with this water prayer again. And I'd just like to say, if you can repeat this, water and the Native Americans' ancestors whose burial grounds that oil companies have destroyed, we are sorry. Please forgive us. We love you, and we thank you. And we ask that this area be healed, no further destruction be done. Again, we are sorry. Please forgive us. We love you, and we thank you. And we ask that this area be healed and that no further destruction be done. And finally, we are sorry. Please forgive us. We love you. We thank you, and we ask that this area be healed and that no further destruction be done. I had Dr. Effie Chow, a wonderful lady who's one of the world's most famous Qigong healers in San Francisco, on for the first hour, Willie, and she talked about her intention experiments and light meditation of healing, for example, of stopping the oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico in 2010, of healing another man who'd been paralyzed from heart attacks and getting him up and allowing him to heal to the point where he could walk around and live for another 8 years. And I know that we're powerful spiritual beings meant to do good on this planet, and the true nature of humans is not to be full of hatred, not to be fighting all the time, not to be antagonistic and negative, but instead our true nature is to be full of love, benevolent, kind, and loving. And I know that even for people like Governor Dalrymple of North Dakota, I'm sure he's got a good heart inside. I think he's just misguided, like many of the banks financing this oil pipeline are simply misguided. I'm sure they all have families. I'm sure they're very loving men and women in those banks, too, who actually care about this planet and care about their families and other people. And I think they're just misguided, and as well as President Obama, too. I applaud him. I think he made a mistake in authorizing the legislation back in January of this year for the pipeline, but I think he's realized he made a mistake. He stepped in and made a partial halt to the pipeline. So I want to send lots of love and light to him too, to make the right decision to put a halt to this pipeline and find another route for the pipeline that's not going to destroy all these beautiful sacred Native American burial grounds and cause a lot of environmental damage as well.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, man. I think the president's going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, I truly believe that, you know, President Obama, I feel he's done a lot for this United States in his two terms. And, you know, I wish he was able to run for a third term. But, you know, it would be be interesting to see what his next step in life is. I'm sure he'll continue to do some good things, and I truly do believe that he is going to come through. And you know, he made a mistake by signing off on it first, but you live and learn.
Right.
You know, you're the president of the United States. Nobody's perfect, man. Everybody, you know, myself, all, you know, people are not perfect. We're not perfect. This
right.
isn't a perfect world.
Right. Right. And this goes for the banks too in Canada, the United States, elsewhere. That have, I think they've made a mistake in financing this pipeline. And I'm also asking everyone to send them lots of love and light as well, so they realize their error, and stop the project or reroute it, put it into do the pipeline, but not through an environmentally sensitive area like where it's going now.
Well, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I really truly really just want to send out the love and, you know, prayers to the Standing Rock people, and not just Standing Rock people, but everybody who's traveled there, came back, maybe traveling over there. You know, you go over there with a big heart. You go in there over there thinking positive thoughts. You want that positive energy there. You know, no negativity. It's positive. You know, it's a lot for the tribal council over there, for their tribal members to have this going on. You know, and. You know, the prayers that you said, and I hope, you know, the prayers throughout the world here, the folks that are listening, they send them that way. And, you know, you think for the, you wish for the best for them. You really do.
Right, exactly. So that's why I want to wrap up this segment on the pipeline. And I trust that, and I know that President Obama and even the banks and Governor Dalrymple in North Dakota will make the right decision and stop this project, and then find a route for the pipeline that's going to be environmentally safe without people getting assaulted and beaten up along the way.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Willie, we've got about 8 minutes left, and I wanted to tell you that because I'd love to have you talk about any other issues you'd like to address today.
Well, you know, there's another a few other issues that, you know, we've dealt with here in the last 6 months here. Our tribal folks in the state of Washington, you know, the tribes here, we met with Governor Inslee last week at the annual Centennial Accord that was first started by Booth Gardner in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where, you know, the tribes in the state of Washington and the governor get a chance to spend a whole day together talking about different issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main issues that I work on and others work on at Nisqually is this co-management agreement that we have with the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the North of Falcon agreement that we have every year, the meetings we have, this was the worst year we had of North of Falcon in the history of the North of Falcon, which has been, you know, close to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, we got to figure out a way to get back to the table, to get the tribes, get the state officials, the folks who are involved to really sit at the table and hammer out what the ideas and the plans are for fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the main issues I brought up is habitat.
Mm-hmm.
You
sure.
know, we're fighting over every last salmon right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of salmon left out there.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to figure out a way that we can try to bring our salmon back to life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us as Native people, our salmon is a major part of our lives.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
That salmon that swims in the Nisqually River, I've fished on the river since my late teens with my brother, and we actually just got done at the end of August this year. We fished for 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and we caught 30 fish total, which is unheard mm-hmm. of. That's not a good number.
I see. Okay.
You know, but for my brother and I, you know, it's not about making money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that at all anymore. It's about being on that river with our nets.
Sure.
Where my grandfather fished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they fought for their treaty rights on that river. And my dad, he went to jail over 50 times.
Oh, my gosh.
For fishing.
Wow.
You know, for protecting his usual and accustomed area.
Billy Frank,
Yeah, at Frank's Landing on the Nisqually River.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so my brother and I, you know, we always laugh because, you know, my dad was 83 years old when he passed away, and at 82, he would still come out on the river with us every couple days.
Wow, that's beautiful.
You know, and mm-hmm. it was so funny. He was like a kid in a candy store when he got on the river, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like that youth and that energy. I mean, mm-hmm. like, for him, it was energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for us, you know, we're able to get on the river and still feel my dad sitting in the boat with us. We're still able to feel, you know, his medicine. You know, it helps us with the healing process.
Right, right.
You know, for as Major, he was in my eyes, he was Superman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at 83 years old, he was still going 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
You know, and so for my brother and I both, you know, it's part of the healing process to be on that river. And, you know, I can it feels like I can still hear him laughing. You know, he had such an amazing laugh, and, you mm-hmm. know, he was just an amazing human being. You know, mm-hmm. he won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and he was given the award from President Obama in November of 2015.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know,
that's
and
wonderful.
this is the biggest award a civilian can get mm-hmm. from the president. And mm-hmm. He was one of the, I believe it was 19 others. You know, it was pretty crazy. He was on there with Willie Mays,
mm-hmm.
Barbara Streisand, Steven Spielberg.
Wow.
James Taylor, Gloria Estefan. I mean, these are icons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these people. And then here's my dad, a Nisqually tribal member from Olympia, Washington. You know,
well, he was a great man.
He really was.
Absolutely, and, absolutely.
And it's up to myself and others. You know, this younger generation of tribal
mm-hmm.
leaders
mm-hmm.
to pave our own way, but also to carry on the same traditions that, you know, we were taught by our ancestors, by our elders. You know, I always say, if it wasn't for our elders, you know, our Nisqually people, we may not be here anymore.
Right.
You know, they went through the blood, sweat, and tears
right.
in the 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, to get us to where we are today.
Right.
And I always have so much respect for them, and I always try to show them the respect they deserve whenever I can.
Mm-hmm.
And our natural resource manager named Georgiana Couch, she's 74 years old, and her husband was the last of the, back then they called them the fishing renegades.
Uh-huh.
And it was my dad, his brother, and four others. And, mm-hmm. and Nuji Couch, he was one of them, and he's the last one left.
Wow.
You know, so that history that we have at Nisqually, you know, they just renamed the Nisqually Wildlife Refuge after my dad.
That's
Billy
right.
King Jr.
That's
Nisqually Wildlife Refuge in July.
That's such a beautiful area. Willie, I'm sorry to interrupt you, my friend. We've got about two and a half minutes left. I want to make a quick announcement, then give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today. Before I forget, there's a lady named Karen who's taking a group of people up to the top to Paradise in Mount Rainier to do a heart meditation for the world peace tomorrow. She'll be there from 12 noon to 2 p.m. On Saturday. And if you cannot come, just direct lots of love and light to Mount Rainier and to the world for world peace. If you're interested in going, I won't be going myself, but just send me an email. I'll forward it on to her. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. They'll be there for the day doing prayers and meditation for world peace. Also, too, I want to thank everyone so much for listening today. As I mentioned before, Michiko Hayashi will be doing a West Coast tour starting in San Francisco on October 19th and then ending up in Vancouver, Canada on the 5th of November. She'll be delivering these beautiful messages of love and gratitude from Dr. Omoto's famous research. For more information about her schedule, please go to the website at www.emotopeaceproject.me. And or if you need more information or details about the events, you can also send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And we've got about a minute left, Willie. And again, I want to mention before I forgo that remember the banks that have been financing this oil project in North Dakota. If you disagree with the way that they've been treating the peaceful protesters back there and beating them up and all the environmental and Native American desecration, then vote with your money and get your money out of those banks into a better local bank. Anyway, Willie, we've got about a minute left, and I want to give you the rest of the time, please.
Well, you know, I really just, it truly is an honor to you know, to connect with you the last couple of days and, you know, get on your radio show here and, you know, just tell a little bit about my experience at Standing Rock, a little bit what's going on, you know, at Nisqually, and just the issues that, you know, we're going to continue to fight and we're going to continue to deal with as Native people. And like I said, we're not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, our tribal folks,
right,
our tribe, you know, the Standing Rock folks, all the tribes in the state of Washington throughout the United States, the indigenous people throughout the world.
Thank you so much, Willie, my friend, for coming on today. I'm sorry we have to go. Everyone, I hope you have a beautiful and happy weekend. Bye-bye.